Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pricharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Thank you, Devamrita Maharaj, for revealing the inner mysteries of the Lord's pastimes with his devotees. We find in this very deep narration that Maharaj has shared with us the quality of Vaishnava relationships. Even though Gopinath Patanayaka was treated absolutely unfairly, for him this trade with the horses was something quite fair, but because he ridiculed the prince wanted revenge. And for no proper reason, he was going to kill him. Gopinath Patanayaka was not praying for his life, was not praying for help. Tate nukampam susamikshamano punjana evatmikritam vipagam. He was misunderstood, he was misjudged. And he was being given the worst possible fate, death. And not an ordinary death, but the changa. It's a very painful death. You're thrown off a platform onto the top of swords, where you lay there and slowly die. It's horrible. For what? For making fun of a prince, that's all. And the prince was trying to cheat him. And he was going to die miserably for that. But he wasn't complaining, I'd been misunderstood, this is wrong, why me? He didn't seek, he was simply accepting it. Whatever happens, just let me remember Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let me remember the holy names. He was just taking shelter of the Lord. That's such a Vaishnava. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in his heart. He knows what a great Vaishnava he is. But still, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is apparently even misunderstanding him. He owes a debt. He didn't pay the debt. Whatever the punishment the king sees fit, that is proper. Hare Krishna. But the Vaishnavas, how they loved this devotee. How they risked even upsetting Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to try to save this devotee. Mad bhakta puja vyadika. They know the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though Lord Chaitanya was externally very disturbed with them, internally, he was extremely happy with them because they were willing to even be risked by displeasing the Lord and being chastised for the Lord for the sake of the Lord's devotee. We see this on several occasions. Nityananda Prabhu, the dearmost devotee of the Lord, he upset the Lord on several occasions for the sake of the devotees. And the Lord was most pleased with him, although externally he chastised. Lord wanted to go to Vrindavan after sannyas. Nityananda Prabhu goes to a cowherd boy and says, "When this sannyasi asks which way to the Jamuna in Vrindavan, show him the way to Bengal and the Ganga." So Lord Chaitanya says, "Where is Vrindavan? Where is Yamuna?" The little boy says, "That way." Then Nityananda Prabhu sends a messenger to Advaita Prabhu, "Meet us there where the Lord's going to be with dry clothes for Lord Chaitanya. And get all the devotees to come to your house." Because Nityananda Prabhu knew that Lord Chaitanya's devotees were on the verge of death. They were suffering so bad because of separation from the Lord. And if the Lord goes to Vrindavan, will he ever return? And if he doesn't return, what will happen to the devotees? But at the same time, Lord Chaitanya wanted to go so bad. So Nityananda Prabhu tricked him. And Lord Chaitanya, when he heard from Advaita, "What are you doing in Vrindavan and the Jamuna?" Advaita said, "Vrindavan, Jamuna, this is Shantipur, this is the Ganga." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, Nityananda Prabhu tricked me." He chastised Nityananda Prabhu. But he was pleased internally because he upset the Lord for the sake of giving pleasure to the devotees. And again, when Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya to South India, he said, "I will not go with any of my close associates." Nityananda Prabhu, he said, "If you want to go to South India, you go. But I've already been there, and I know all the places, and I know how to get there. I've been so many years traveling. I'll go with you." He said, "I will not go with you. You're always trying to control me. I have danda. I take sannyas. And you break my danda. And you throw it in a river. And you guide me to places I don't want to be. I will not go with you." He was chastising Nityananda Prabhu. But internally, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Lord Chaitanya was most pleased with Nityananda Prabhu. Because the Lord is more pleased with serving the devotees than with satisfying his own desires. So yes, Lord Chaitanya was chastising the devotees for bringing up the topic of Gopinath Patanayaka. But in chastising them, he was actually glorifying them even more. And as Maharaj said, they came to him four times. And every time they came, he was becoming more angry. And this is Lord Chaitanya being angry. And the devotees, their only purpose in life is to make him happy. After he chastised them the first time, why did they come back a second time? And why a third? Because ultimately they know that the Lord is most pleased when we show love for his devotee. Gopinath Patanayaka was just happy to live or die if he could remember the Lord. He didn't ask for anything else. But the devotees were begging and begging and begging because of their love for this Vaishnava. And ultimately, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased. Lord Chaitanya orchestrated in this pastime the nature of the love of the Vaishnavas for each other, and how nothing pleases him more than seeing such loving relationships of devotees who are really concerned for each other. It's a beautiful story. And Lord Chaitanya's humility. He took no credit. He said Lord Jagannath saved him. Lord Jagannath saved Gopinath Patanayaka. But actually it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Lord Jagannath? Lord Chaitanya revealed so many beautiful secrets in this story. In regard to relationships of devotees and their love for each other, I would like to tell another story. Very small. For the pleasure of Devamrita Swami Maharaj. Today is Krishna Ekadasi, month of Vaishakha, the disappearance day of Narahari Sarakar Thakur. One of the very, very great confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was young, actually he was born in Srikanda. There were three brothers, Sri Mukunda, Sri Madhava, and Sri Narahari. And they were all born in family of Vaidyas, or natural Ayurvedic physicians. In fact, Srikanda was full of great Ayurvedic doctors. Many, many great souls were born in Srikanda. Sri Mukunda was the oldest brother, and he was the personal physician for the Nawab Hussein Shah, the king. He was so expert. And yet he had so much ecstatic love for Krishna. He arranged for his younger brother, Narahari, to get educated in the Shastras in Navadvip. So when Narahari was young, he went to Navadvip to study and became a very, very close friend of Gadadhar Pandit and one of the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. Even before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his Sankirtan movement, Narahari had written beautiful songs and books about bhakti and the love of Radha and Krishna. He was a very great devotee. Gaur Ganodash Deepika says that he was the intimate confidential girlfriend of Srimati Radharani named Madhumati Gopi. In fact, Bhakti Vinod sings about him. Narahati adi kavi chamaratulaya Sanjaya Mukunda Basu Gosari Gaya. That during this evening arti on the bank of the Ganges, Narahari is fanning Lord Chaitanya with chamara, as Mukunda, Sanjaya, and Basu Gosh are singing beautiful songs. And Narahari, he would compose songs describing Lord Chaitanya's own internal personal identity. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not allow anyone to speak these things, except Narahari Sarakar, who was so very dear to him. Later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went to Puri, every year the residents of Srikanda would come to Puri in the entourage of Shivananda Singh to join the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya, he loved the Srikandavasi so dearly that he organized every year that they would have their own Sankirtan party. There were 7 Sankirtan parties in the procession of Ratha Yatra. And Narahari and his nephew, Mukunda Sarakara's son, Raghunandan, were the chief dancers. It describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya would praise his devotees and oftentimes give instructions to each devotee before they would leave after the 4 months of Chaturmasya back to Bengal. And he told these 3 residents of Srikanda 3 very specific but different instructions. He told Mukunda that you are a family man with wife, with children, with an occupation. You should responsibly earn both material and spiritual wealth. Which means for a grihastha, they have responsibilities in this world. Just like Devamrita Maharaj was explaining how Lord Chaitanya was telling Gopinath Patanayaka how to properly live honestly under the king. You shouldn't renounce this world. You have family responsibilities. But he told him you should earn, in order to survive in this world, for a grihastha, you have to earn material wealth. But Lord Chaitanya said earn material and spiritual wealth. Not separately, simultaneously. This is what Bhagavad Gita teaches. Not that you have your worldly life and then your occupational duties and then you have your spiritual life and they're something separate. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, go fight this battle and afterward remember me. After the battle, do your sadhana and remember me. No, he told him how to fight and remember him. Manmanabhavamatbhakto. Always remember me. Satatam kirtayantamam. Always be chanting my glories. We have to perform our sadhana to create a spiritual foundation in our consciousness. But then what we build, we have to build it on that foundation. Our occupation, our family duties, whatever else is might be required, paying our taxes. It should all be integrated and harmonized with our devotional service. In other words, it should all be done for Krishna. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yajduhoshi yad avasiya. Krishna says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, everything should be done as an offering to me. He doesn't tell Arjuna that, you know, when you get home from the office or when you get home from the battlefield, then you should remember me and do things for me. And otherwise, you should do the material stuff. No. The material stuff should be spiritualized by doing it for Krishna. By using the fruits of your activities for Krishna. By doing it according to the will of Krishna and by remembering Krishna. In this way, we earn material and spiritual wealth. That was the duty that Lord Chaitanya gave to Mukunda Saraka. And then to Raghunandan, he said, you should worship the deity. It has nothing to do with material wealth. He was a pujari. He had the deity of Lord Gauranga. He had a deity of Radha Gopinath. Be pujari, worship the deity. Keep your mind fixed on Krishna in this way. and how he worshiped the deity. It is described how Raghunandan, we know the story when he was a little boy, and he told Gopinath, please eat. And Gopinath said, I already ate, it's prasad. And he cried. He said, no, I want to see you eat. And Gopinath came down from the altar and ate all the food from the plate. That was his devotion. And he knew that Krishna loved Kadamba flowers, so he really in his heart wanted to offer Krishna Kadamba flowers. He had a Kadamba tree right outside the temple, and every single day some Kadamba flowers grew on that tree. Now we have Kadamba trees here. But only during a certain month of the year do any flowers come. They only grow a couple months of the year. But because of his desire, the deity arranged that tree to give Kadamba flowers every single day. So that he could, because, why? Because the deity was eager, very eager, to satisfy the devotee's desire to please the Lord. This is so amazing. Think of the divine psychology. Raghunandan knows that the Lord loves Kadamba flowers. Why does he love Kadamba flowers? Because the Kadamba flower represents Srimati Radharani. The flowers are golden, resplendently golden, like Srimati Radharani's complexion. And because those flowers give Krishna remembrance of Radharani, it's his favorite flower, and because of that, the Kadamba is his favorite tree. So Raghunandan wants to offer what the Lord wants best. He only wants the Lord's pleasure. He cares nothing about his own things. Only the Lord loves Kadamba flowers. I want to please him. So to please the devotee, who's only pleased with pleasing the Lord arranges Kadamba flowers to grow every day. This is love. Because the devotee only wants to please the Lord wants to only please the devotee. Look at Srila Prabhupada. Anjala Dutta, he was praying, I only want to please you, Krishna. I only want to be an instrument of your mercy. I know there's nothing that will please you more than giving these fallen souls bhakti. So he prayed so much. Imagine, 70 years old, you just had heart attack, seasickness, you have no money, you know no one, and he's asking for nothing for himself. He's only asking, empower me to please you. Let me make you happy. And therefore, because Prabhupada was so intensely, single-mindedly concerned only with Krishna's happiness, Krishna was single-mindedly concerned with Prabhupada's happiness. And he empowered him to open temples all over the world, to translate books, and have tens and millions of books distributed in every major language throughout the planet. Krishna's fulfilling Prabhupada's desire to please him. This is the and this is how mercy comes to us. Mercy comes to us on the basis of the loving exchange between the pure devotees and the Lord. And somehow or other, we get to get the results of it. All the millions of people who've been given bhakti, everyone in this room, how? Because Prabhupada only wanted what Krishna wanted, and Krishna only wanted to reciprocate by giving Prabhupada what he wanted. And somehow or other, we got caught in the middle. This net of love. It's like this net of love between the Lord and his devotees. Somehow or other, we got scooped up in it. So what is our qualification? qualification is that love. Reciprocation, exchange. So Raghunandan was in ecstasy to see those Kadamba flowers every day. Why was he in ecstasy? Because he gets Krishna what he likes best. And Krishna was in ecstasy to see Raghunandan getting what he likes best, which is to give Krishna what he likes best. This is bhakti. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Raghunandan, you worship the deity. And then he turns to Narahari Sarakar and says, you should associate with devotees and stay here with me. That means be here in Jagannath Puri, in the association devotees, and preach. Three very different instructions. One is to just be in an ashram and preach. The other is to be a pujari. The other is to work, have a family, earn material spiritual wealth. And in this regard, Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna consciousness is not a stereotyped thing. There are so many different ways that the Lord wants, according to a devotee's temperament, according to devotee's particular position, the Lord is very open to accept their worship and their love. And he's giving different instructions to different devotees. But all the instructions are one. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. They're all one because they're all for the pleasure of the Lord. They're all with pure devotion. But the simultaneous difference is there's so many different ways of expressing our love for Krishna. And it's not that Mukunda was thinking that I'm better than Raghunandan, or Raghunandan was thinking I'm better than Narahari. They all completely loved and respected each other because there was no envy or competition on the material platform. They all recognized the sincerity of each other to serve and please the Lord. We're having our book distribution marathon. Prabhupada says it, he talked how he was so pleased with book distribution. But as far as he was concerned, every aspect of the temple is doing that. The pujari, the cooks, it's all part of distributing his books. And everyone is feeling their interrelationship, their interconnections with each other. During our marathon, some people are cooking and bringing it to the railway station. Some people are driving vehicles. Some people are doing management and ordering. Some people are out there actually giving out the books. Some people are back here doing the ordering and the accounts. So many different activities. But they're all one and different. Because for the purpose of pleasing Srila Prabhupada and pleasing Krishna. Narahari and Srikanda, one time Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya came there, and Lord Chaitanya wanted, and Nityananda Prabhu wanted to drink honey. So Narahari Sarakar, he didn't have any honey, but he wanted so much to please the Lord. He wanted so much to please the Lord, and the Lord knew how much he wanted to please him. So here again, the reciprocation of love. I want so much to give Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya honey because that's what they want. And he had such an immense desire to give them honey that suddenly there was a pond of water, and the entire pond of water was a lake, a small lake, filled with honey. And it was called Madhu Pushkarini. He wanted so much to give honey, the Lord gave him a whole lake of honey to offer. And that remained there. Lake of honey. One of Narahari Sarakar's disciples was Lochan Das Thakur, who was the author of the Chaitanya Mangal. Another disciple was Raghunandan Thakur, the son of his brother, Mukunda. So we'll discuss specifically today's pastime of disappearance. Narahari Sarakar was very, very dear to the Vaishnavas. Srinivasacharya was a renunciate. He came to Srikanda to get the blessings of Narahari Sarakar. And Narahari told him that it's the Lord's desire that you marry. Now that's not an easy thing for a renunciate. He wasn't a sannyasi, but he had no concern with any of these family life. But Srinivasacharya understood what Narahari Sarakar speaks is what Lord Chaitanya wants. He's his intimate devotee. So Srinivasacharya married. This is how he was so revered and respected and loved by the Vaishnav community. And he's the one that installed, after Sri Chaitanya, he's the one who installed different deities of Lord Chaitanya. He'd install one in Katva, and one in Srikanda, and one in another place. And taught people how to worship the deity of Lord Chaitanya. So Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda Prabhu, Srinivasacharya, they were regularly going to Narahari Thakur to get directions, instructions, inspiration. But the love between devotees, devotees of the associates of Lord Chaitanya were gradually disappearing from this world. They couldn't tolerate the separation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others. And every time Narahari Sarakar heard about this, it would just put him in such deep meditation of love and separation from each of Lord Chaitanya's associates. And one of his dearest friends, who lived not far, in Kanaka Nagar, or Katva, was Gadadhar Das. You know the story of Gadadhar Das. He was one of the most powerful preachers. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Nityananda Prabhu to leave Puri and go to Bengal to preach, he gave him a whole group of devotees to assist him. And the two principal ones were Abhiram Thakur and Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das worshipped Lord Chaitanya's deity with his disciple Yadunandan Chakravarti in Katva. Narahari Thakur heard that in the month of Kartik, Gadadhar Das disappeared from the world. When Narahari heard this, he felt such deep love for this Vaishnava that he stopped talking to anyone. He simply went in seclusion and chanted the holy names and meditated on the Lord and his associates. And then, on this particular day, Narahari Sarakar disappeared from the world. His disciple Raghunandan Thakur and the other residents of Srikanda wanted to have a festival in honor of his disappearance. And at the same time, Yadunandan Chakravarti wanted to have a festival in honor of the disappearance of Gadadhar Das. So they decided to do it one after another. And they invited all the great Vaishnavas who were the associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, all of them who were still living. They came. Srinivasacharya helped to organize Raghunandan. He had the whole town of Srikanda just united with enthusiasm to welcome all the Vaishnavas and serve all the Vaishnavas, knowing that nothing would please their guru, Narahari Sarakar, more than that. So they did. The festival in Katwa was glorious. Then all the devotees came to Jajigram and met Srinivasacharya, and then came to Srikanda. The whole town of Srikanda, or let us say the village of Srikanda, came to greet the Vaishnavas with so much love, with so much affection, because they were trained by these great souls. And who were some of the devotees that came? There was Krishna Mishra and Sri Gopal, who were the two sons of Advaitacharya. And then there were Sripati and Sri Nidhi, two brothers of Srivas Thakur. And one very prominent personality, Virabhadra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu. Everyone in Srikanda was so pleased. They all came to greet with so much love, so much devotion. And Raghunandan Thakur decorated the temple so beautifully. Just whatever he had, he tried to give the most beautiful festival experience to the Vaishnavas for the pleasure of his guru. On this day, when they all assembled, the great acharyas all decided that they wanted to hear Srinivasacharya recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Srinivasacharya was very much younger and junior to all of them. He never personally met Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in the physical sense, and these devotees, many of them, were his confidential associates. So Raghunandan Thakur arranged nice seat for all the devotees. And Srinivasacharya, he went to each and every one of these senior devotees and prostrated himself and put his head on their feet and begged for their mercy and blessings. And they all ordered him to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not that he came in and thought, okay, I will now speak Srimad Bhagavatam. He felt totally unqualified. He felt totally inferior to all these people. He was there only to honor them, to surrender to them, and to serve them. And how was he surrendering to them, honoring them, and humbling himself before them? To follow their order, to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, this is the mood of a Vaishnav. Many of us give Srimad Bhagavatam class. The fact is, we're giving class in front of Radha Gopinath. They're not just statues, they're there. Can you imagine giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class in the presence of Radha and Krishna? And also, Gornitai. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are standing there. We're giving a Bhagavatam class in their presence. And Gopal is there, lifting Govardhan Hill. And Lord Narsingadev's there. And the six Goswamis are there. And Srila Prabhupada's Murti. He's physically, spiritually present within his Murti. Who are we to give a Srimad Bhagavatam class in front of Prabhupada and all the assembled Vaishnavas? The nature of a true Vaishnava is a true Vaishnava thinks everyone else is more qualified than me. So if everyone else is more qualified than me, how can I be instructing superior personalities in the confidential topics of Srimad Bhagavatam? Therefore, the way we should speak any class before the Vaishnavas is in the mood of Srinivasacharya. You know, in our heart of hearts, we're bowing down before the deities, we're bowing down before the Vaishnavas, and only because we're being ordered by Prabhupada, only because we're being requested by the Vaishnavas, we are doing it as an act of surrender. The person who's speaking the Bhagavatam is actually doing it in a mood of surrendering not only to Krishna and Radharani and the Guru, but also surrendering to all the audience, the Vaishnavas in the audience. So there's no pride. It's humble surrender. This was Srinivasacharya's mood. But then if you're going to surrender, you have to do it the best you can. You have to do it in such a way to please them. If you just say, oh, I'm just the most fallen, and I'm just the worst, and I'm just the least, and I can't speak before you, so I'm not going to say anything, or I'm just going to make a fool out of myself because I am a fool anyway. That doesn't please them. What pleases them is if you really, really, from your heart of hearts, with everything you have, do the best you can. That's our service. So Srinivasacharya, his voice was sweet like a cuckoo bird. Kokila. And when he would recite the different passages, and he had so much emotion, and so much devotion, and such profound explanations of the verses of the Bhagavatam, that all of his superiors were in ecstasy. And they just kept telling him, go on, go on, go on. Surrendering to them, he went on and on for hours and hours, practically the whole day. And everyone was sitting in rapt attention. He also worshipped the Bhagavatam with tulsi leaves and flowers and chandan. This was their spirit. The Bhagavatam is a deity of Krishna. The Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. The Bhagavatam is Krishna. He was worshipping the Vaishnavas, worshipping the Guru, worshipping Krishna in the form of Bhagavatam. That is what his class was, simply an act of worship, of humble devotion. That's the way we should speak. That's the way we should preach. That's real Vaishnavism. It's very deep. As he was speaking, the devotees were, when he finished, the devotees were discussing with each other, the senior Vaishnavas, the associates of Lord Chaitanya. They were saying, one person said, I think that Shukadev Goswami is personally empowering Srinivasacharya. And another said, I think that Vedavyas is personally empowering Srinivasacharya. And another said, it seems to me that Gadadhar Pandit, who taught him the Bhagavatam, is personally empowering him. And another said, as far as I could see, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself is speaking through Srinivasacharya. In this way, where they were just praising him and glorifying him. And he was bowing down and offering all gifts to the others, just thinking, you're glorifying me, but I'm only empowered by your mercy. This is the loving exchange. Then they had aarti. Raghunandan took them all to the temple of Sri Gauranga. And when they saw the decorations of the temple, so beautiful, so meticulous, so excellent in every regard, with flowers and with different types of pots and ornamentation, the temple was exquisite. In honor of Narahari Sarakar, for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas and the deity. And after the arati, they began the kirtan. And it's very instructive how they began the kirtan. Raghunandan personally brought in the kols, the murdangas, the karatals, and other instruments. And then Raghunandan Thakur had special garland, each one in an individual container that was meant for every devotee that was present. And Raghunandan Thakur personally, he and Lochan Das Thakur, his godbrother, they were both going to each and every devotee and placing a very beautiful scented garland. And then each in a unique container for that devotee. So much personal touch was there. It's not that there was just a pile of garlands and they just, just ripped one off and threw it on. Everything was so personal. Because it's these personal details that touch people's hearts. Bhakti is about personal details, to show love. And the more personal, the more affection it creates in the hearts of the Vaishnavas. So they were offering to Krishna Misha, to Sri Gopal, to everyone. And then Raghunandan offered garland to Birabhadra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu. And Birabhadra called for Srinivasacharya. Said, bring me a garland and chandan. After Raghunandan put chandan on the limbs and the forehead of Birabhadra and gave him garland, Birabhadra took a garland and put it on Raghunandan, who was very much, Raghunandan was very much humbled. This is the son of Nityananda Prabhu worshipping me. You see, when you put a garland on someone, it's an act of worship in Vaishnava tradition. It's not just a formality. And then Raghunandan, and then Virabhadra put chandan on him. And Raghunandan was so much embarrassed. What did he do? He turned around and put garland on Srinivasacharya and chandan on him, who was junior to him. So we find, again, reciprocation. The juniors were worshiping the seniors, and the seniors were worshiping their juniors, and the only way to respond to that is the juniors were worshiping their juniors. Does that make sense? It was a joyous occasion. And then Raghunandan Thakur, he worshiped every instrument. He put a garland, special garland in a special container made for every set of karatals, for every murdanga, for every little horn that they had in their kirtan. And a special little cup for chandan with camphor, with keshar, saffron. And he lovingly worshipped all the instruments. The instruments started playing. Devotees were singing very sweet kirtan. Kirtan became so beautiful that the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu began to dance. Oh, how everybody was just overwhelmed with joy to see the sons of Advaita the brothers of Srivas Thakur all assembled, dancing together. Wouldn't you like to see that? Sri Gopal, you know the story from Chaitanya Charitamrita about Sri Gopal. Should I tell? During the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, after they all cleaned the temple, they went to the Narasingha temple and cleaned that to prepare for the Rath Yatra, the arrival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya wanted to show that if you want Krishna to manifest within your heart, you have to make your heart a completely clean place. A perfect temple. So Lord Chaitanya turned to Sri Gopal and told him to chant the holy name in ecstasy. And Gopal chanted the holy name. He's the son of Advaita. He was not very old at that time. He was a young boy. He fell unconscious. And Advaita came running to see what happened to his son. There was no sign of life in his body. It appeared he was dead. So Advaitacharya was crying out the holy name of Krishna in the ear of his son. And calling, you know, come back, you know, wake up. And Gopal was lifeless. And Advaita began to cry, and all the devotees came and gathered around. Seeing the plight of Advaita, his son appeared to be dead in the middle of this most joyous occasion of cleaning Gundicha. And all the devotees were crying along with Advaita, screaming out the holy names of Krishna, and Gopal just laid there. And then Lord Chaitanya, he saw, this lasted for some time. Again, here it is, all the Vaishnavas coming together, weeping to see the plight of Advaita. He just lost his son. They're all chanting. Then Lord Chaitanya comes and says, Gopal, get up. And Gopal opens his eyes, breathes, and stands up and starts dancing in ecstasy. Hare Krishna. And devotees, seeing this, raised their arms and loudly cried out the holy name. So Gopal was very particular about giving Lord Chaitanya just the kind of prasad that he liked. I believe in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya ate something that wasn't so, he had some indigestion, and Gopal understood exactly what the Lord wanted and brought him some digestive prasad. So personal, so thoughtful in their service. So here was Gopal dancing with all the Vaishnavas. And then there was Birbhadra. It explains in great detail in the Bhakti Ratnakar the beauty of Birbhadra. He was more beautiful than Kandarpa or Cupid himself. His every limb. He was the son of Nityananda Prabhu. And he had so much compassion. He was the primary branch of the tree of Nityananda Prabhu. Through him, millions and millions and millions of people attained pure devotional service. Birbhadra was dancing in ecstatic love as all the devotees were chanting. And soon, all the villagers of Srikanda, all the devotees, they were all there in that kirtan hall. And hearing about this kirtan, people by the thousands from so many other villages, they all came crowding there to see. Now it's Ekadasi. Devotees hadn't eaten or drank anything all day. And now it's night, and the kirtan's going on, and Birbhadra's dancing. And the devotees, whoever was there, and all the guests and everyone else, they were lamenting that I only have two eyes to see Birbhadra and all these other Vaishnavas dancing. This is something very deep. They were relishing it so deeply. It was so sacred, so meaningful, that they were lamenting. They only had two eyes to see. And there was a blind man who never saw the light of day his whole life. He happened to be there. And he heard about all the devotees just swooning to see the dance of Birbhadra. And this blind man asked someone, "Who is it that's dancing?" And they said, "It is Birbhadra." Vira means to destroy the wicked, and Bhadra means to protect the pious, to protect the devotees. As soon as he heard the word Birbhadra, this man silently, this blind man, silently, within his heart, was praying so deeply, "I wish I could see him dance." He didn't want anything else in life. He didn't want to see the sun or the moon. He didn't want to see his mother or his father. He didn't want to see any of the things in this world. The only thing in all of creation that he wanted to see was Birbhadra's dance. But he didn't say anything to anyone. He just prayed. He longed for this within his heart. And Nityananda Nandana, Birbhadra, could understand his prayer. And as everyone was watching, Birbhadra glanced upon this blind man. And as immediately upon his glance, the blind man's eyes opened and he could see everything. And seeing the beautiful form of the son of Nityananda Prabhu dancing in ecstatic love for Krishna, this blind man went wild. And when everyone else saw this connection, there was a massive ovation of joy chanting the holy name. Dancing went on and on and on through the night. It was getting later and later. Kirtan was so sweet. The holy name was just overwhelming everyone. And the joint relationships of all the devotees chanting in the hearts. They were all longing to see Lord Chaitanya and his associates. During the kirtan, devotees were crying out in separation the different names of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. They were crying out, "Gauranga, Nityananda, Gadadhar, Srivas, Advaita, Haridas Thakur, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, Murari Gupta." They were crying out, "Gadadhar Das, Narahari Thakur." They couldn't bear the separation from these great souls. And as they were chanting together, they were crying in separation. And Lord Gauranga could not resist their devotion. He could not restrain himself from satisfying their desire. Because they were so fixed with this one desire to be reunited with the Lord. Suddenly, like a flash of lightning, instantly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested in the middle of the kirtan. And he personally pacified each and every devotee. He eliminated all of their miseries and drown them in an ocean of happiness. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing amongst all the Vaishnavas, as they chanted the holy names. The Lord disappeared, and the kirtan went on until Mangalarti. After Mangalarti, Raghunandan Thakur, who was singing so sweetly, was capturing the minds of all the devotees as well. He asked the senior Vaishnavas, how would you like to observe Dwadasi today? And they said, we would like to all sit together and partake of the Mahaprasad of Sri Gauranga. So Raghunandan Thakur told the devotees, now you go to your personal rooms that we have arranged for you. Raghunandan Thakur, so nice. He arranged nice rooms for everyone. And he had individual personal servants attending for the needs of every single devotee. Like Gauranga Priya Prabhu. Every single guest had a Gauranga Priya right there with him. Prabhu. And Sri Sachinandan Prabhu also. And guest reception. This story is the inspiration of, and the Kethari festival of our guest reception department, actually. Because this is Vaishnav culture. And then Raghunandan Thakur arranged for a wonderful feast to be cooked. The finest cooks of Sri Khanda made a magnificent feast. And they brought it to the pujari, and the pujari put it on the altar and offered it all to the deity of Sri Gauranga. Then they had the aarti. And after the aarti, all the devotees were given nice seats in the temple, in the prasadam area. They all sat down, eager for prasad. Because after all, they fasted the whole day before and whole night. They were dancing. As all the devotees sat down to take prasad and were being served, they asked Raghunandan, please take prasad with us. He said, no. I'm happy. I'm deriving the greatest pleasure just seeing you eat and being part of serving you. So they honored that. So as they all sat down to begin to eat prasad, Raghunandan just privately, he took a portion of the Mahaprasad of Lord Chaitanya and brought it to the solitary place where his Guru Maharaj, Narahari Sarakar, would perform his bhajan. There was a wooden seat where Narahari Sarakar used to sit in the little room that he would do his devotion. And Raghunandan brought the garland of Lord Chaitanya and put it before the seat and offered it to him. Took some chandan and put it before the seat to offer to his guru. Then he brought the plate of the Lord's Mahaprasad and placed it before his guru. Then in the room in front of his guru's seat, he sat down in meditation and offered the prayers, invoking the offering of prasad. And after meditating on his Gurudev, he went out of the room and closed the door to allow his guru to take the prasad in private. After some minutes, he knocked on the door and opened it with a pot of water. He brought in, this is how personal he was, even though it was just a seat. There wasn't even a photo or a deity or anything. It was just the seat, the tadit, the paraphernalia of the guru, which is not different than the guru. He came in with a pot of water, to wash his guru's hands and water for his guru to wash his mouth. And when he opened the door with that pot of water, he saw Narahari Sarakar in a celestial body sitting there. Raghunandan Thakur, his heart just erupted in ecstatic love. After so long of feeling separation from his guru was sitting right there to reciprocate with his love. And then Narahari Sarakar physically disappeared. And Raghunandan Thakur, in great ecstasy, he did a seva. He washed his guru's hands in meditation. He washed his guru's mouth in meditation. Took the plate off. And then put his head on that seat, as if he was putting his head right on the lotus feet of his own Guru Maharaj. And even though he's in so much ecstasy, unimaginable ecstasy, he ran back to the Prasadam Hall to help serve all the Vaishnavas. And they were enjoying like anything, loudly saying, Hari, Hari, because the preparations were so wonderful and offered with so much devotion. And served with so much devotion. It's not just the food. Every aspect of it is what makes it pleasing to the heart. You see, when you serve Vaishnavas, you're not just trying to please their palate. You're trying to please their heart. And how much energy and attention and love and devotion we put into preparing the food, and how much energy and love and devotion we to make the whole Prasadam Hall very clean and nice, not cluttered. And to how much love and devotion and energy we put into serving the devotees with so much affection, so much personal affection. All these things together is the culture of pleasing a Vaishnava's heart. This is how Raghunandan Thakur organized this feast. And Birabhadra and all of the great associates of Lord Chaitanya and all the other devotees, they were just overwhelmed with pleasure. In fact, before Raghunandan came in, they were all praising Raghunandan Thakur, praising him. And when he heard them praising, he became very embarrassed. They were saying, this Raghunandan, everything about him, he's such a great soul. The way he dances, the way he sings, the way he's so humble and so polite, the way he's so compassionate, even to the most fallen and poor and suffering people. Everything about him is so pleasing. So after everyone finished their prasad, they insisted, Raghunandan, you take prasad. He said, no, I have to serve the servers. And Srinivasacharya and the others who were serving, he served them. And after all of everybody else ate, he sat down and ate prasad. Then in the evening they came for the darshan and they had kirtan. And they chanted half the night. And then the other half the night, they all went to take rest. And the next morning after Mangal Arati, the senior devotee said, now we have to go. And Raghunandan Thakur begged them, please, please stay a couple more, two or four more days. Please stay some more days. And because he wanted to serve them so deeply, they couldn't leave. They had to stay because there was so much love. They were all conquered by Raghunandan's love. They said, all right, we will stay. He said, we're making another arrangement today. All the houses in Srikhanda, they're all going to cook for you. So they all came the next day, noon, and all these preparations from all the devotees' houses came. And they all took prasad and then spent the day talking about Krishna. And then had more Nam Sankirtan and more Nam Sankirtan and Kirtan. And finally, when it was time for them to leave, Raghunandan Thakur offered each and every devotee individual special gifts, garlands, and such deep, loving words of affection. And the whole town, the whole of Srikanda, went to the river as the devotees were getting on their boats to cross, to depart. This is how the Disappearance Day festival was celebrated of Narahari Sarakar in Srikanda. And we are celebrating it today in Radha Gopinath Temple in the presence of His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj. I have two announcements I'd like to make, and then Devamrita Maharaj, will you lead the kirtan for us? If there's anyone that could make everyone dance in transcendental happiness, it is Maharaj. This is a report from the Ratha Yatra yesterday. According to the CID police, more than 43,000 people came to the pandal yesterday. They were actually counting. ₹36,100 plates of prasadam were distributed. 15 newspapers, 15 television channels reported. This is the report I'm getting. 310,000 houses saw clippings of the Ratha Yatra, and the lecture was seen on cable TV from 9:30 till midnight. And the newspapers reported that 10 to 15,000 people were on the procession. And as His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj was so eloquently explaining yesterday, it was all done spontaneously by a group of the youth of our congregation. Such beautiful, beautiful arrangements. So highly well organized. And the temple, all we did is go and enjoy. They did all, the congregation youth, all the fundraising, all the management, all the organization. They got those crazy people who were blowing fire in the air. And all those firecrackers and fireworks. Magnificent prasadam arrangements. Rotis. Yes, you all got rotis? That means they made, 36,000 rotis or something. It's incredible. Great, let us offer our gratitude to these devotees and everyone who participated in Ratha Yatra. And this news we received from Madhavananda Prabhu, the director of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. This is very important news. The health update of His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj. Now, the greatest concern of the doctors was that he was still on life support system, ventilator, which actually pumps in the air in your lungs. If you take it away, the person dies. So he's artificially being kept alive by this machine that's helping him breathe. And it was like this for a month. And it was their greatest worry. If he doesn't come off the ventilator very soon, there's very little chance that he could survive. Although he was becoming more conscious, he was reciprocating with devotees, he was able to start talking still. As long as he's on this vent, depending on this ventilator, his life is in critical condition. The report we got today is Jaipatak Maharaj is conscious, alert, and is interacting with devotees very clearly. He's able to have prasadam. All other parameters of his health are stable. And His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj has been without the ventilator for the last 48 hours. So we're very much grateful to Krishna that he's giving us this hope, but still we should pray from our heart of hearts. We heard from Devamrita Maharaj how the devotees were praying to Krishna for the welfare of Gopinath Patanayaka. How much we should be praying for our very, very senior spiritual leader of ISKCON and such a dear, loving associate of Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada. And such a compassionate man who has traveled the world transforming hundreds and thousands of people's lives. We pray for him. And in this spirit, His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj will lead us in Nam Sankirtan. Thank you very much.